Correct.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. So we're observing All Saints Day today, so it's probably a good idea to check in with all the saints and see what they're up to. And when we look in the Bible, what we see they're up to is, it looks like at least here in Revelation chapter 7, which is the sermon text, it looks like they're at a big political rally. They're all gathered around a platform, and they're all excited because it looks like it's the kind of political rally. It's more like one of the watch parties on election night, and the candidate that they're all rooting for has won the election, and they're all excited. Of course, this just could be bluster, right? People do this on election night. Well, they do it the whole election cycle. They're all excited about their candidate. But when you look at the pundits, they're all buying the same story. They're all convinced that this candidate has won too. Verse 9, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. Apparently this isn't like a local election or even a national election. It looks like somebody's won pretty big office here. They're with clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and they're crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne." This is clearly political. The entire book of Revelation actually is highly charged with politics. The pundits agree. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they too fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Looks like God's on a hot streak. He has, once again, elected himself king of the universe. There are lots of people who would like to slap a term limit on it, but he just keeps on winning and winning. Nobody can shut him down. Of course, it's not the case that nobody's ever opposed him. There's been lots of candidates who have been on the opposite ticket. Think about a guy like Ra, the Egyptian god back in 1500 BC, the sun god. He was opposed to the creator god, but the creator god put him out for a couple days. He said, "I don't want you to shine. I'm in charge of you. You go dark." He lost that election. Think about Baal. He's another popular god, right? He's the Canaanite god. Baal's popular because he offers everybody who votes for him free sex. Sacred prostitutes. If you vote for me, you can have free sex. Of course, Baal's not around too much anymore either. He's been deposed. Satan himself, in fact, has made an appearance every once in a while. Of course, Satan figures that he's better off as a behind-the-scenes guy. People start seeing him showing up in front of everybody, they get kind of freaked out. So he figures he's more of a don. He's more of a string puller. His most recent plans is not to put anybody up specifically for election at all. I mean, that's just superstitious, he's convinced us, right? But believing in stuff like Baal and Ra and Jesus and all those ancient people, that's just superstition. Instead, who Satan puts up for election is of concepts, power, pleasure, money. These are the things we're all voting for now. Of course, you just can't vote for those people. He's got to have spokespeople to speak on behalf of power and pleasure and money. That's where Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump come in. This is what they're offering us. Power. If you vote for me, I can assure your freedoms. You can do what you want. You can live life the way that you please. Money. If you vote for me, I'm the one that's going to make you financially secure. I'm the one that's going to make our nation economically viable. These are the promises that are being made to us now. These are the promises that Satan's making to us now. That outside of Jesus Christ, I can give you power and money and pleasure. In one way, of course, it doesn't matter because Hillary and Trump have already lost the election. And I know what you're saying. One of them is clearly going to win the election of the United States this week. That's not actually the election that they want to win, though. What they want to be is the most powerful person in the world. That's an election they never can win. They can become president of the United States, but it's more like a game of King of the Hill. which I used to play a lot when I was a kid. There was a construction site at the school across the street from where I lived. They were building a gymnasium, and there was huge mounds of dirt stacked up from where they were digging the foundation. And we'd go out there with my friends, and if you were quick and you could get yourself a good strong base, you could be the king of the hill. You could knock your friends off as they would come up to the top of the hill and try and push you off. And whoever could stay up there the longest was the king of the hill. This is what they are. They're the kings of the hills, right? Who can stay up on the top of the heap? Of course, there's actually a bigger king of the hill. You know, my dad sticks his head out the door and says, "Hey, get off that, come inside." And you got to do it. You're not really the king of the hill. Somebody doesn't even have to come up and shove you. They just have to stick their head out the door and say a few words, and down you come. This is actually the position that they're in now. They're fighting for second place. They're fighting for this office, which will give them what they think it's going to give them, which some of us hope it's going to give them, or which some of them hope it's not going to give them. But it's something that they can't really have. Instead, who's on the throne? I mean the real throne. Not who's the president of the United States, but who's the president of the universe? Look at what all the saints are bowing down towards. This might surprise you. The most powerful person in the whole universe, the most powerful being, to whom every single dictator who's ever lived, to whom every single king and queen who's ever lived, to whom Hillary Clinton, to whom Donald Trump, to whom me and you will one day, either willingly or unwillingly, be forced to bow down and confess that, yes, indeed, you are the most powerful person in the whole world. You are the president of the universe. Look who it is sitting up on the dais. Look who it is as the balloons come down around him and as the band plays. It's a dead animal. John chapter 5, John looks up on the throne, and he had heard that it's the Lion of Judah. But he looks, and he can't believe what he's seeing. He says, "It's a lamb standing as though it had been slain." A dead animal. No, wait. Maybe it's not dead. It looks like it's dead, standing though. "What's going on here?" John asked. "This is weird." And then you look around with John at all the people who are gathered around the dais, who are cheering and waving the banners. No, check that. They're actually all on their faces, worshiping. And John notices something weird about them too, and he asks one of the pundits who's standing there, "What's up with all these people who are wearing these clothes that are so white I can't even hardly look at them? So white that no fuller's brush or tanker truck full of bleach could ever get them that white. What's up with that?" And the pundit says, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. These are the ones who have suffered. These are the ones who have been squashed under the thumb of every dictator, of every general, of every king, of every president, of every Donald Trump, of every Hillary Clinton who's ever lived, who's made promises to people, promises designed to get power from those people, to milk them for every little bit of power they could get from them, promises they have no intentions of keeping. These are those people, the ones who have been crushed by the political and the religious machinery. And make no doubt about it, the book of Revelation is not about what's going to happen in the future, in spite of what you might have read in a popular but poorly written Christian fiction from several decades ago. The book of Revelation is about politics. It's about who's in charge. It's about the king of the universe, and it's about the enemy's desire to use the political and the religious system in tandem to get rid of the king of the universe, and how he will never be successful. And how he won't be successful because he doesn't understand the name of the game. He thinks that if he can put the politicians and the gods up there in front of us who can command armies, who can say powerful words and make us do what they want us to do, that he can control us. And what the enemy doesn't realize is that the one who's controlling the whole world is a dead animal. And that the ones he has squashed under his thumb are actually the ones who get the goods. Look at what this last part of Revelation 7 says. "These are the ones who are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence." Don't tell us about a wall. Don't tell us that you can keep us safe from our enemies. You never can. You never will. Only Jesus is the one who can shelter us with his presence. Don't tell us that you can provide for us and make us economically viable. You never will. Only the ones who follow Jesus will be able to fully say that we hunger no more, neither thirst anymore. We are the ones with the lambs in the midst of us. He will be our shelter, and he will guide us to the springs of living water. And he is the one who, something no one else can do, will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And so we don't give Hillary and Trump what they want. Oh, you might pray and thoughtfully vote for one of them, perhaps. But you're not going to give them what they want. You're not going to give them their trust. You're not going to give them their belief. You're not going to give them your undying loyalty. You are not going to acknowledge their claims to a power which they can never have, a power which if they possessed for one nanosecond would totally blow them up. Instead, what we're going to do is we're going to gather around the throne with all the saints in all times and all places and sing out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, for you are the one who was and is to come. You are the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, and you will reign on the throne of your Father forever and ever." Amen.